Let us now turn to the Word of God, and we shall turn to read from the Book of Psalms, the Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And may God again add his blessing to the reading of this psalm. We come to the well-known psalm, the 23rd psalm, probably the best known of all the psalms. Probably the psalm that is most often sung, and yet how little we feel sometimes there is an understanding of what is being sung. People become quite emotional and sentimental when it comes to funerals, and so they want to sing this psalm, feeling they can draw some comfort from it. And yet they can quickly forget what they've actually been singing. Perhaps they're even ignorant of what they've been singing, because this is the personal testimony of the psalmist. You can see from the title that it is understood to be a psalm of David. We do not know when he penned the words. We don't know the circumstances under which he was guided by the Spirit of God to write these words. But one thing we can see very clearly is that it is David's personal testimony. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me, and so on. So the psalmist is speaking of a personal relationship with the Lord, but it is a unique relationship. Spiritually, it is a relationship between the shepherd and one of the members of his flock. Now, there are just simply four matters that we might consider briefly regarding what the psalmist says here. First of all, the confession that he makes. He is stating where he stands, what he believes of his relationship with God. Then the second thing is the care that he experiences because of the relationship. The psalmist is able to tell us of the care that he actually experiences under the care of this shepherd. Then thirdly, the comfort that he actually enjoys. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And lastly, the confidence that he expresses because of this relationship. Surely, he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so these are the four simple matters we may consider. First of all, then, the psalmist confession in the psalm that we were singing from, the Psalm 80. It is there a cry, and what I was thinking as we were singing it, we could almost sing it every time we assemble. It is such a prayer with such an intensity of desire for the reviving and the quickening of Christ's church. But you can see how the psalm begins, Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. This is a cry from the sheep, as it were, from the flock. They are wanting the attention of the shepherd. They understand that the shepherd cares. The shepherd has a heart for them. And so this is the cry, the plea of the flock to the shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Now here in the Psalm 80, the shepherd is the God of Israel, who shepherds his people, the flock of God. He shepherds them through the wilderness. He shepherds them in the promised land, and so on. Now, the psalmist undoubtedly can enjoy that relationship because he is part of God's Israel. But he doesn't say, the Lord is our shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's something different. The Lord is my shepherd, and I recognize him as my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the business of a shepherd, to do just that. His work is bound up with the care of the sheep. And the psalmist says, I actually experience the shepherding care of the Lord. I know the Lord, but I know him in this respect. He deals with me as a shepherd. Now, in the Gospel according to John, that no doubt we're familiar with, when the Savior says, I am the good shepherd, in John chapter 10, you have the Savior reminding his disciples and those that he was addressing that he was the good shepherd. In reality, he's the shepherd that we were reading of in Isaiah 40. The shepherd with a tender heart who would carry the lambs in his bosom. He was so compassionate, so tender-hearted. This is him. But one of the things that he does say in verse 27 of the Gospel of John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But earlier, because of this relationship, the protection they have, the relationship between them, earlier on in the chapter in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. They know me. I know them, but they also know me. And that's the great matter that should concern us, not just that we're part of the visible church or the visible flock, but that we actually know him, that we know him in the way that the psalmist here does. And that's the real test of our relationship with the Lord. Can we say, the Lord is my shepherd? And the Lord is my shepherd because he has taken me as one of his sheep. That's the great marvel, that he has taken me into his flock. He has taken me as one of his sheep to take care of me, to protect me, to provide for me. The Lord is my personal shepherd. Now, of course, that immediately directs us to the work of the shepherd with his sheep. What use would a shepherd be if he either didn't know his sheep, he couldn't recognize them, or he didn't understand how to look after them? The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I actually experience his constant care for me. And he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want. What a confession the psalmist makes. I shall not want. Why? Because my shepherd won't let me want. He won't leave me to want. He knows my needs. He knows when to guide me to the green pastures and when to lead me beside the still waters. Now, if you know anything of working with sheep, you will know that they have their own peculiar, particular nature, characteristics different from other domesticated animals. Having grown up on a mixed farm, I know that there had to be a period of waiting. You could not put cows, for example, onto grass in which sheep had previously been grazing. They would refuse. They could smell the sheep and they wouldn't eat the grass. On the other hand, you would never think of putting sheep into the kind of pasture that you would put a herd of milk cows into, because they would just not be interested. Cows, cattle can eat longer, lush grass. Sheep don't. They like fresh grass that is just freshly grown. It is grown perhaps overnight, and it's covered with the dew, and it's the freshest. It's short, but it's fresh, it's sweet. That's what they enjoy. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here. I shall not want. I shall have the correct pasture. The Lord is my shepherd, and he knows my needs, so he will take me to the right pasture. He just won't take me to any kind of pasture. He will take me to the pasture that meets my needs. Now, to spiritualize, where do we think the pasture is that the shepherd who cares will take his people to? It's the fresh, nourishing grass of his own word, the green pastures. Do we find God's word to be like that? Do we find it fresh, or do we think, well, I've read this so often, I'm familiar with it, it's part of God's word? Or do we find when we're reading, when we're meditating, there's a freshness, there's something that nourishes, there's something that invigorates? That's what the psalmist is talking about. He leads me to lie down. And what anyone knows that when sheep lie down, they lie down to chew the cud. That's the reason they lie down, to relax and to digest what they've been previously feeding upon. When they lie down, it's to it is to use and to digest what they previously fed upon. And that's how the psalmist says, the Lord blesses me with nourishment from his word, and then he leads me to lie down, and then to make use through meditating on the word to draw the nourishment out of it. And then he says he leads me beside the still waters, meaning the soft flowing waters that I can drink from, not an ocean of water, but sweet, softly flowing water. You see here a picture of the shepherd really taking care, as it were, giving the very best to his sheep. This is the good shepherd. He gives the very best to his sheep. That's the picture the psalmist is painting. Now verse 3, he says, he restoreth my soul, or he restoreth my life. Now you just imagine the psalmist, David, being a shepherd. What did he tell Saul? He said, when I was a shepherd, the lion attacked the flock and the bear, and I took the lamb out of the jaws of the bear and out of the lion, and I slew them. And the psalmist would know when he rescued that lamb, he has restored its life. He has rescued the lamb right out of the jaws of death. And how blessed it is to see in occasions the Lord doing just that. You think of Simon Peter, Satan, going around as a roaring lion. And he intends to devour Simon Peter. But what do we find? The great shepherd. He won't lose any of his sheep. And he prays, and as it were, he takes Peter right out of the jaws of that roaring lion. And when the psalmist here is speaking as he does, he recognizes the shepherd has rescued him on many occasions. And that's what the children of God profess, their dependence on the shepherd, not only to go before them and provide for them, but to protect them and to deliver them. He leadeth me. Can we say that? He leadeth me. He leads, yes, that's what the shepherd is supposed to do. But he leadeth me. How do we know if he's leading us? He says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake or for his own glory's sake. He leads me so that I won't go astray. He leads me so that I won't lose my way. He leads me so that I won't discredit his name, whose name I profess. It brings great dishonor and great discredit to a shepherd who loses his sheep. A shepherd who has no control over his flock, who loses them, who allows the wild beast to devour them. He loses all credibility as a shepherd. The psalmist says, he leads me in the right paths for the honor of his name. But the fact is, he leadeth me. I don't choose out my path. I don't decide myself the direction in which I'm going. He leads me. When we look at the state of the professing church today, and when we listen to the way in which the average professing Christian talks, you wonder, is the Lord a shepherd to anyone hardly today? Who is he leading? People just think, well, I'm a Christian and I can basically do what I like. I can do what I want. I can go where I please. The shepherd says, or the psalmist says, this shepherd, because I'm one of his sheep, he leads me. I go behind him. And if he doesn't go anywhere, I don't go either. If he goes, I go. If he doesn't go, I dare not go. And my, when you think of where many professing Christians in this day and age, where they go, you cannot believe for a moment that the Savior's going before them, that he's leading them to do the things they do and act the way they act and be in the company that they find themselves in. He leadeth me. That's something that should concern us if we profess the name of Jesus Christ. Am I really honestly being led by him? Is this where he would have me? Is this where he's leading me? Is he leading me into this? Is he leading me in this direction, or have I just decided I like it and the idea is good in my own thinking? This psalmist is not his own master. The shepherd guides him, and in verse 4, he says, yea, he leads me, yea, he's still leading me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, he may lead me in a way that I would rather not be found in. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's still in control. He's still leading. Now you have to understand the scene that the psalmist is really depicting here. Being a shepherd, he understood the land that he would shepherd in. And very often the shepherd, if he took his flock to the green pastures and beside the still waters, naturally the water was often in the valley. And often the greenest pastures were in the valley. But sometimes the shepherd, knowing the sheep have grazed long enough here, I'm now going to move them to fresh green pastures, but the way will have to be through this dark valley that is likened here to the shadow of death, because that's what sometimes certain valleys were actually known as, partly because there were robbers and thieves and they were there waiting for the unsuspecting shepherd to come along and they would rob him of his sheep or whatever. But because of the high mountains, there were periods in the day when there was nothing but shadow. The valley was actually dark because the sun didn't penetrate. The mountain tops hid the sun, and so it was a dark valley, but it was the way that they had to go to get to the green pasture on the other side. And this is what the psalmist is talking about. The shepherd sometimes, this is what the psalmist says, yea, he's still leading, he knows what he's doing, he knows where he's taking me, he knows where I need to be, he's taking me to green pastures, he intends my good, he's taking me to fresh nourishment, he cares for me. But to reach it, we have to go through the dark valley. And sometimes, you see, we would like the green pastures without having to passage through the dark valley to get to it. And oftentimes, in the experience of the Lord's people, that's what they will acknowledge. Before I reached the green pastures, the Lord took me through the dark valley. That's what the psalmist says. I had to go through the dark valley, but I will fear no evil. If that's where the shepherd is of a mind to take me, I will not fear because I know he's in control. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he intends to lead me for the good of my soul to the green pastures. Now, notice the comfort that he enjoys. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. The shepherd does never desert the sheep. Oh, there's times that they might fear that he might, but he doesn't. Thou art with me, and that means everything. That means absolutely everything. Thou art with me, leading me, guiding me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were the implements that the shepherd used. He would use his rod to count his sheep. He would use his staff to pull them out of danger. If they get caught in a thicket, he will retrieve them and he will pull them out. He will put the hook in around their neck and he will pull them out. And he will go, he will hold out his staff and he will count them one by one as they leave the fold in the morning and so on. And so, what's the psalmist saying? This shepherd checks. He checks me every day. His rod, the fact that I know he's checking on me, he's counting me as it were, he's making sure I am there under his care. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Just to know he is actually there and he's taking care of me. And this is the psalmist's care under the hand of the shepherd. He says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now he's still talking about the shepherd. But it's as though he's receiving such a feast. This shepherd prepares a table for him, and it's a banqueting table. A table for him in the very presence of his enemies. What confidence the psalmist has in the shepherd. I can sit down at a banqueting table and enjoy nourishment and enjoy fellowship and enjoy communion with God in the very sight of my enemies, and they can't touch me because of the power of the shepherd. They're afraid of him. They may not be afraid of me, but they're afraid of him. And the psalmist says, thou preparest a table before me. What does Jesus say in the parable? Come, for all things are now ready. Thou preparest for me. It's all prepared with me in mind. That's what the psalmist is saying. There's no accidents in the way that I'm going. It's all prepared. The shepherd has thought it all through. He's planned it all. He's organized it all. There's no accidents. And you and I tend to think sometimes there's a lot of accidents in our experience. That's not what the psalmist experiences. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You remember in Luke's gospel, there in the chapter 7, the woman comes to the Savior in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And what does she do? She anoints the Savior with the ointment and she wipes his feet with her hair, and Simon wasn't pleased. But what did the Savior say? Simon, I come in here. You never bothered to wash my feet. One of the things he says, you did not anoint my head with oil. You see, these were the kind of protocols in that society. If you invited someone to fellowship for a banquet or a feast, well, this would be provided. These things would be provided, including the anointing of the head that was to freshen up the guest. And the psalmist says, God does all this for me. While he's leading me, he's actually also serving me. He gives me these services. What a shepherd. A servant shepherd and a shepherd servant. The psalmist is speaking of a blessed relationship that is like none other. And then he comes to conclude, his confidence is obvious. Surely, there's a certainty about what he's saying. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you can see that in the psalm, the psalmist tells us that in his experience with the Lord, because that's what he's talking about, it's his experience with his Lord. There are dark times, and there are dangerous times in his experience. The dark valley of the shadow of death. The table spread in the presence of his enemies. The shepherd doesn't prevent these things, but he guides his sheep for which he cares through these experiences. And this is truly a sweet, sweet psalm. How sad it is that while it is so well known, or at least the words are, so few really enjoy the experience. And when the Savior comes in the fullness of time, as we read there in the prophecy of Isaiah, how Isaiah is directed by the Spirit of God to identify this very shepherd. Verse 10 of Isaiah 40, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall have a tender heart for the lambs of the flock. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom. And I do believe myself that this should be a great encouragement to Christian parents, to parents with the responsibility of little lambs in the flock. And so often we think, well, until they get a certain age, until they have a certain knowledge, until they are able to experience certain emotions and so on, that we just have to leave them there and wait until they grow up and so on. This shepherd carries the lambs in his very bosom. He carries them close to his heart. And I believe that the little ones in the flock have a close place to the heart of the shepherd himself. That's why they're important. if he is so tender-hearted toward them, pity us if we are not. He will carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He won't outpace them. He won't outrun them. Because, you see, his care is for them. And he will slow down when that is necessary. Yes, he will expect his sheep to follow them, but he understands every one of them. And he knows their weaknesses. And he knows their fears. And he understands their struggles. And when they feel they haven't the strength to move as they maybe even would like to, the shepherd doesn't run away and leave them. He doesn't think to himself, they're going too slow. And sometimes, you know, those who imagine themselves to be making spiritual progress and they think, well, I'm ahead of him, I'm ahead of her, I'm more knowledgeable, I'm more prayerful, I'm more this, I'm more that, I'm well advanced in contrast to them. And sometimes those who imagine they know a lot, they can become very impatient with those whom they consider to be ignorant. And slow and not making the progress they ought to make. Now if it is the result of sloth, and if it is the result of neglect of duty, that's something very different. But such is the tender heart of David's shepherd, that even when the shepherd is, when the sheep is struggling, and when he feels he is so weak he can hardly move, the shepherd doesn't run away and leave him or demand and beat him into obedience and demand that he keep up. He has a heart to gently lead, to tenderly lead. And every true child of God must know this. They must learn this in their experience. And they must sometimes marvel at how patient and how tender-hearted and compassionate the Lord is with them. It is a most blessed, blessed relationship. And it is one that if we can confess truthfully from the heart, brings contentment into the soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine, and I am his care. And if I don't make it to glory, it will be his responsibility. But because he leads, I will never perish. Because he's guiding, I am safe. And I will, as the psalmist says, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we shall leave it there. May God bless his word.